welcome to Roms from Baghdad. Joining me, DJ.
Hello. You may have been catching me drinking, taking a lick out of my stirrer. That's because I'm making a little drink on the side that you may not have noticed.
Great. I love little side drinks. Okay. What's your side drink for today?
It was orange juice, and I decided to make it a little happy fun time by adding some Passoa, which the marketing... Let me get...
What's Passoa?
I don't know what that is.
Drink chat. The marketing says, like, hey, passion fruit juice from Brazil. And, like...
In little tiny letters, it said it's made in liqueur.
Oh, yeah, it's liqueur. And it's made in France. It's a French thing.
Fancy, okay.
Yep.
Fancy fucking drinks we got in here. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
What was me going ahead? What?
Yeah, I was going to talk good. A little bit more about like what's...
It tastes good.
Okay.
I finished the bottle. There was not much left in it. There was like maybe 4 shots left in it. So liqueur, so that's like 2 units of hard alcohol.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, I guess that makes sense, but... I don't know. Being drunk halfway through a podcast.
It's very orange. It's like dark orange.
Yeah, it looks like it changed the color. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that being drunk halfway through a podcast, not the best thing. But maybe that's...
No, it's fine.
Let me ask. Fair. Is 2 shots of alcohol going to get you drunk, Darden?
I have no idea.
Dude, I don't drink, so... and that still wouldn't... Yeah. That would like do nothing to me.
I have no idea. Just saying... I don't know.
And I'm sorry for like 3 quarters of these podcasts. Yeah.
That's fair. Okay. I don't know if I could do a podcast drunk, but more power to you if you can. Okay. Also joining us. Hi, Mary.
Hey, hi. I'm drinking coffee. It's boring. It has MCT oil in it because diets. Yeah. My mom got me that for Christmas. Some stupid keto oil bullshit that's supposed to help you lose weight faster. I don't know. What? Thanks,
does
Mom.
Does it have amphetamines in it or some shit?
No, it's just like a refined version of coconut oil, and it's supposed to help your body burn fat or some other bullshit. Sure. I don't know. I didn't read it. I was just like, fine, whatever. It tastes good in the coffee. I don't care.
Can I interest you in today's sponsor? Keto Chow.
We don't
Keto Chow. Say it right.
Keto Chow. By Keto. Keto Chow.
Sold home by
of,
Keto.
Home
Keto.
Of the Whopper. Did you gonna try some of that? Because I have a bag of that over there somewhere.
Maybe. I was trying not to spend any money on stuff, which is why all of my games are either like super on sale this week or free. So yeah.
Okay. Finally, we have Jake.
That's me.
Hi. That's good. Finger guns. All right.
I just got some tap water in a hydro flask.
Ooh. Okay. Is there a sponsor code with that, or
Hydro Flasks are dope. This is this is actually a local business. They operate out of Bend, so
that's cool.
And how big is this that guy? This one's fucking big. This is like 40 ounces.
Looks it, yeah.
But they're metal insulated, and this thing will keep cold water cold for like 12 plus hours. Like I filled this up with cold tap water. In like before I went to bed, and like the next day, the afternoon, it was still cold.
Huh. Are they like a big deal locally where you are? Because here, we have Yeti here, and people go fucking ape shit for it for some reason. I don't know why.
No, this is the real deal bottles. Though. Like the hype is real with these things. These are awesome. Worth the money.
How's your Oregonian water?
My tap water is good. My tap water's fine, yeah.
Got fluoride.
I believe there is fluoride in it, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, always fluoride in it. Come on now. What water doesn't have fluoride in it?
But like I ran like one of those filter things you hook onto your tap for a little while, and then I accidentally broke it because I hit it with something and it busted the little thing, and That was before I had a 3D printer, and now I'm thinking I should go just go print a new part for that, and it would work. But the taste wasn't too different, so just went with the tap water.
Okay.
You drinking anything, Albie?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, nothing. My God, I got my vape as well, so I got my vice.
Okay.
Double sipping.
I don't believe in drinking of any kind. I just purely take in nutrients through filter feeding, so that's
photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis, sure.
Is that what the super bright light behind you is for?
Yeah, it's feeding you energy.
Yep, there you go. Is that better? That's not better.
Bro, you gotta get your white balance in check, my dude.
Yeah.
Why? It's a red light above me.
Why do you...
Okay.
All right, never mind. I'm...
It's just the way it is right now.
You have a red light.
It's just the thing that shoots through. I don't know why it's red, but it doesn't make it better, does it? No, not really. But what can you
take
do?
Take that off.
Can't. It would break the lamp. It's a part of the lamp. It's a part of the lamp. It's not
this,
that can
this
do
plays really well on the audio.
I know, it does. It's amazing. I'm glad everybody's having a great time. I hope the audio version of this podcast has been good. That's all I can hope for.
Yeah. I just want to back it up. Can you change the bulb on that thing?
I have. I put a better bulb on it. It just comes off red for some reason.
But it's still red.
It's still reddish. I don't know why it's so reddish.
You said it was the shade of the light. The
I mean,
light
I guess.
Shade.
Oh, it's the shade. Sorry,
it's
my
shade
bad.
Some way.
What if you get an RGB light and then like color correct it in real time?
You're asking
okay,
a lot
sure.
of Thowden.
Color
might be
corrected
a little...
in real time?
Yeah, that's a little too fancy. Yeah.
That's pretty fancy. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't like the new... Like, I don't believe in the product called Hue, I believe, by
Philips.
GE Philips, one of those. I think that's a dumb idea. Like, why would you want mood lighting in different colors? Like I just don't understand that.
Too fancy.
I think you're just in generally hating RGB lights in general, correct? Because Hue.
I mean,
I like
them on a keyboard or in a computer.
Yeah, but like
keyboard,
the
I'm all about that
Hue
white backlighting. Give me some pure white LEDs. Yeah. Don't give me that RGB shit.
No, give me all the RGB.
I'll take some RGB in my house though. Got some
yeah,
orange.
I've got Mary's keyboard business, basically.
Rainbow.
The Rival 300 looks pretty sick when you set these to green, actually. So, looks like a Razer product, but not shitty.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Hue's like defining thing is the Internet of Things, so you can like control your lights whenever you want, turn them on your phone and stuff. So I think you just generally hate RGB in like mood
sure.
lighting.
I mean, it makes no sense. Like, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't do anything for me. It just seems like a useless thing. So,
if it wasn't for all the massive network security issues that those things introduce, I would probably have tons of that stuff. I don't have any Internet of Things. Like, I don't have light bulbs. I don't have an internet connected fridge. Like, that kind of
I
shit.
I just don't want to pay the extra money for any of that and setting it up and
White ones are totally cheap, but like the RGB ones, the ones you want, like they're way expensive.
I would just go with plain white bulbs.
Sure. I mean, I think that's the best choice for everybody.
Like
for the vast majority of people.
The cheaper thing even is to get Wi-Fi enabled switches. So you just plug it into the outlet and then it connects to your Wi-Fi. Yeah. And then you can run multiple things off of it. And be like, hey, Alexa, turn off the living room lights, and it'll turn off the lamps that are connected to it or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that would be convenient. I'm kind of a hypocrite on the white lights only thing because this study I'm in right now is totally set up with black lights all around it. And so at night when Gary and I are playing computer games, we have it set up with black lights.
Old school LAN like, style. They're busting
yes,
out the black lights
yeah.
and shit just for
it's
fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's like early 2000s LAN party in a garage. Like somebody gets all their black lights out, turns off the lights.
This turtle painting, like behind my head, you can't really see it right now, but sometimes you can. It totally lights up in black light. too. It's super lame. Cool. Yeah, Gary painted it when he was like 4 or something. So, yeah.
I'm going to use UV paint because this will look sick in like 30 years.
It does look sick. Rave turtle. Yeah. So.
Rave turtle?
Okay. Yeah.
Rave turtles. Oh, great. I'm glad we can have such a connecting moment on lights. Speaking of electronics, though, what electronic video games have you people played this week? Who wants to go first?
Bought a VR game on a whim, and it was a good choice. I played a game called Contractors VR. It's a shooter, of course, obviously. That's like...
Okay.
I either play like Beat Saber, Rec Room, or shooters. That's it. And there's a player base, which is actually pretty cool. So you can load it up, go to the server browser, and there's usually like people. 5 or 6 games going, which is pretty good.
Okay. It's pretty good for VR sometimes.
Yeah. Considering this is a newcomer and there's already like staples like Pavlov and Onward and other like Standout and stuff that people who play shooters are already playing. It says a lot that there's people actually playing this. They do a lot of stuff like smartly, which is weird because like a lot of these shooters, people just kind of like crank them out and don't really kind of think about stuff. Not to say that Pavlov and Onward are bad, because those are great. But the big thing that jumped out at me was I went into the menu. And it's like gun stock calibration. I was like, oh, it's probably just a one-time thing that tries to apply it to all the guns in the game. Wrong. It takes you to a menu, and it's like, pick which gun you want to calibrate. And it's like, here's all of the guns in the game, so you pick them out one by one. And it says, put your controllers in the stock. Your right stick will control the pitch of the gun, and the left stick will move it like in a certain plane in respect to your controllers. So then you just get a cheek weld on the thing, and then you move until your sights are right, and you go do it for the next gun. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome, because it means all of my guns are aligned perfectly, so I can actually aim at like a real rifle and get a good sight picture. And it's like, I was immediately sold. I was like, all right, this was worth the $20 for sure.
This looks very good. How's
your character has arms, and you're not just like floating hands. But the IK, like when you're aiming, I found when I'm aiming and I try to like aim over something, the IK kind of takes over on the left arm and like flips it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of have to like wiggle it around for the IK to like unfuck the arm. And another thing I noticed was I don't think it uses the Steam VR SDK. Which is a concern, because I wanted to try to stream it and I have to use this weird OBS input capture thing, and I'm not actually recording in OBS. I'm just using it for the full screen preview, because the FOV on that capture is really good for streaming. It's nice. It's not like zoomed in.
Sure.
A lot of games default like the desktop mirroring. The FOV on the desktop mirror is super low, and it sucks to watch. And not this game, though. The FOV on the desktop mirroring is A+, and it defaults to the right eye, which is awesome. Because then when you actually hold the rifle up, then people who are watching can actually see through the scope as well. They basically, because I'm aiming with my right eye, so, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cool thing, because when I decide to stream it, I don't have to run OBS.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I will get the wrist chat, though, because it doesn't use Steam VR. And the thing I use for my Twitch chat to bring it up on my wrist is OVR Drop, which is a Steam VR SDK thing. So it only works with games that use Steam VR.
Okay.
Streaming VR games is a pain in the ass. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that does seem... Huh. I mean, I know... Streaming in general, pain in the ass, but streaming VR games seems like it would be just almost impossible, especially to relay the kind of things you would want to relay about, like, what it actually looks like and stuff.
Yeah, and that's why when I stream stuff in VR, I try to, like, When I was first getting my stream set up for VR, it was like, man, I got to find a better solution than this built-in one that all these games have, because the FOV is super low and it looks really fucking bad to watch. And you can get motion sick pretty easily, because like, think of a low FOV and then think of that having to watch that attached to somebody's head.
Like, yeah, no, I've seen all
bad VR streams. Crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
But I appreciate that, because they apparently thought of that, and the desktop mirroring looks great. So maybe I'll stream some of that. I don't know. I'm not great at it. Every now and then I'll get a good headshot or something, or a one tap, and people are like, whoa, nice shot. But there are people who don't have rifle stocks who are still kicking my ass. So.
Oh, your audio just...
Yeah, I didn't hear you.
Yeah,
maybe did my push talk may have not been engaged.
Now you're back.
Okay, well, whatever. That one, it made it on the is Discord fucking up again? It was doing this the other day.
What, dropping audio out of nowhere?
No, like my push to talk won't stick.
Oh, seems fine for now.
Yeah, seems fine.
All right.
I'm watching a guy play on YouTube. His locomotion like seems straight. It's not like teleportation. Is that fine for you? Is that seemingly?
I turned off the vignetting that it does when you're sprinting and like moving and shit.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't make me sick. I've never really had issues with that. Unless the movement speed is really fast, then I'll start like, whoa. Right.
Huh. So, I mean, is that something you find generally now with VR games? I don't have a VR headset, but a lot of games, like, I felt like everybody did teleportation there for a while. You feel like a lot of games
was doing teleportation because nobody wanted to put the development time into having smooth locomotion first. So they would do teleport, and then eventually there'd be people who were like, yo, smooth locomotion doesn't make me sick. Can you please add it to this game? And then some people would, and then other people wouldn't. So, but then there are some games that are built around the whole concept of teleportation, like Budget Cuts. You have a teleport gun, and then you get to look through the thing before you teleport. And I saw people asking for smooth locomotion in that game. Like, I'm like, do you even understand how this game works? It's like you add smooth locomotion to this game, and it fucking breaks it completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just wondering, because it seems like something that was a big deal a while ago about the teleportation stuff, and now I don't hear much about it, really.
Yeah, I was a little wary about it when I first started playing like Pavlov and Standout and stuff, but
sure.
Takes a couple minutes. Like, the first few minutes, my brain will just be like, whoa, okay, all right, we're good. Before my brain goes, oh, it's just a display attached to your face. You're not actually moving. Like, I'm able to think about that. It's like you just have a screen and it's on your head. You're not actually moving. So I guess that kind of keeps me from getting motion sick, I guess.
Sure, no, that makes sense. I mean, it's, you know, your brain just needs a second to wrap itself around the idea that there's like a screen on your face. That, I mean, you know.
Like, sometimes I'll get a sensation like if I move forward, my brain will be like, whoa, that means we must be tilting backwards. So you need to like lean into it, but that goes away pretty quickly.
Okay.
And you tend to not think about that, like when you're holding a rifle and you're like trying to like peek around corners and shit, and like get the drop on people. You're focused on you're focused on what's going on in the game rather than. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Makes sense. Okay. Well, you play anything else other than Contractors VR?
Yeah, I loaded up Res Infinite, finally, for VR, and I was not aware that there were levels that were made specifically for VR, so I just went in and started playing it. And I was like, I've never played Res before, but this seems really fucking boring. Like, what's the point of this? Am I just not getting it or something? And I brought it up in our group chat, and somebody was like, yo, try the VR-specific levels. Like, I didn't know that was a thing, so I need to go back and try those. Because I was not impressed at all.
Yeah. like the original game is a Dreamcast game. So it's just like a kind of, well, I don't want to say plain Dreamcast shooter. Like they're doing a lot of stuff with the artwork and everything, sure. but it being in VR doesn't really do much.
No.
But yeah, that Infinite level though, I think it's like City X or something like that. That is really neat. And it uses the full 3D space like all around you.
Oh,
I played Res of this week too. All right, yeah. All right. Yeah. I it's not just like a fixed camera. Yeah. No, it's actual VR, which is kind of disappointing because it's only that. Well, I want to say level because even though like the level changes and there are different things, you get to like an end boss and then that real VR segment is over. Like,
oh, really?
When I was playing it, I kept dying to the last boss because it gets pretty difficult. You have to search all around you to like shoot stuff flying at you. So I kept dying, but that was actually really neat, and I never really played much Res on the Dreamcast. Like I had booted it up, and it's neat to see it a lot sharper, and it's neat having the like they sold this trance vibrator thing separately before, but now that's built into the controllers, and I had never played it like that before, and the it adds to the whole raviness, like the uns like beat going to it. It made me get into it. It was kind of neat, but I wish there was more of the actual real VR stuff in there for sure, right. too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not a big fan of the controls, because looking with the headset and pointing with the controller both control the crosshairs, which is a pain in the ass. It's like, pick one. It's like, if I don't have touch controllers, default it to my headset. But if I do, default it to the touch controllers.
Yeah,
because I'm trying, it's like to I'm remember. Trying to aim and like my hand. Yeah,
I think the controllers factor more in on the actual real VR part, but it's been like a couple weeks since I played it, so I can't remember exactly right now. But I remember it feeling a lot more natural than like the Dreamcast version.
We'll have to go back to that, check it out again.
Yeah, me too. I actually want to beat that boss this time. I got pissed off and then I just quit and started playing Subnautica instead. So
yeah, Subnautica. Thank you.
Do you play that in VR?
Yeah, I attempted to it crashed like a billion times first because I tried to run it through just like the Epic Store, but every other single VR launcher, like anything else that Windows 10 thought could handle VR was popping up. So like Steam, the Windows Mixed Reality, all of it was happening and it was having some conflicts there, but I finally got it to work. And I think my computer just sucks too much. It seemed like it was running fine, but I started feeling sick. I'm not sure exactly like what the issue was because I was playing Res just fine.
Probably a frame
Subnautica's
rate
Subnautica's the issue. Sick game.
Like, oh really?
I'm pretty sure everyone that plays VR and gets to Subnautica just says they feel sick with that game.
Okay, well maybe it's an issue in the actual game itself and how they implement VR. I'm not sure, because that hasn't bothered me since I did like phone VR, so I assume there's some sort of delay that's fucking me up. But maybe it's just my shitty 970, and that's also possible.
Oh, that might be it. Like,
yeah, it might frame be rate, I wouldn't be surprised.
Frame maybe. Rate issues will give me a headache after like 10 minutes of looking at it. If it's really bad, if it's framey, then ugh.
Well, I started getting the sickness. Like I started getting hot and I was like, I'm gonna throw up underwater if I don't take this off. So
not the worst place to
throw up. It didn't last too long. Yeah. Well, underwater. It would wash away. The only other issue I have with that game is that it just basically feels like a treadmill. Like I'm doing all this stuff to do another thing. And I'm like, what's the point of this? Like, at least with Stardew Valley, I can have children and stuff.
You got to survive.
Have you got to the point where the things turn? Have you seen the thing crash?
Maybe not. No. Okay. I guess I just need to play more.
Yeah. There's a moment that's going to happen. You'll get a mission and it'll things happen very quickly, and suddenly it turns from a game where it's mainly like a survival game into this really weird exploration thing.
Okay.
That's really different, and you feel like you do have a central goal, a central plot kind of thing it turns into, rather than just a, you know, like, collect this stuff, build this stuff. It turns into, hey, there's things happening in this world you got to go take care
of. Okay, good. Because that's what I felt like was missing for sure. Like, I was staying in kind of the same area, but I didn't really have much of a reason to explore. So it's good that they're going to do that. And also that game was free. So like I said, I'm free being cheap. Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's cool about it is it goes from a, and I played it a lot this week too, it goes from that Stardew Valley to something more like a Terraria, where there's like bosses and like, not necessarily like bosses, but there's like central big things you're trying to accomplish, right?
Okay.
To progress the world, to progress what's going on in it. So it becomes more of a, not like a treadmill, but it becomes more of like a kind of a story-based game there for a while. So I think when you get there, I would be interested to hear what you think after that.
Okay, yeah. Because, I need some direction. Like, I'm not, I can't just fart around forever.
Sure, no.
Getting peepers and cooking them or what.
Cook those peepers, though. Did you get a sea mammoth yet? Did you get a big ship?
No, uh-uh. See, like, I played it for, like, a day straight, and I was like, I'm not progressing shit. Like, I'm unlocking stuff, and I'm making, like, wiring kits and computer stuff, but to what end? I don't know. I just got kind of sick of it, so I turned it off for the day. I was like, there's other games I can be playing right now, so that's enough of this for now. But, yeah, I didn't want to spoil stuff because I know things happen in that game. I'll just stick with it later, probably while Gary's at work and I'm super bored.
Yeah, keep going. See if you can get a sea mammoth and stuff. That's once you get a ship, things open up a little bit. Also, get ready to walk around on land.
Does it have to be called the sea mammoth? Because that's a terrible name.
Sea mammoth. You gotta name it the sea mammoth. I think it's a sea mammoth, right? Or is it the sea beast? Forget which it is.
CB sounds way cooler than mammoth.
You can name it whatever you want. You can name it the sea lion, the sea tiger, sea bear. I don't know.
Sea bear and Jamal. Okay, sure. I'll name it the sea bear. Nobody knows who that is.
Nope. Great. Not a clue. Good. I'm just gonna move on for that one. It's a good game.
Tom
I think.
Loke. Come on, you guys. Get some culture. Some early 90s cartoon culture. I'm sorry. Okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm sorry.
Subnautica, I think, is a really good game. I know there are lots of reasons not to play it, but it is free, and it's a lot of fun. It's not as scary as you think it is until, like, later on that it gets, like, scary. Like
I just don't like the ocean. Just, like, being under the ocean is inherently scary. Like, the game doesn't have to be scary for it to be scary.
Yeah.
Like, right away, you're swimming into underwater caves and running out of oxygen.
Yeah, no thanks.
And
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Fuck that. I'm all right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, at least for me, it became like, oh, yeah, I've seen all the really nasty, scary things. And then it kind of calms down at a certain point. So, I don't know. It's not so scary after the first hour or two.
Don't you get a gun eventually, too? Like, I think that'll way cut down on the scariness for me. If you can actually shoot fish underwater, like,
I think you'd get a gun of some kind, right? There's got to be a gun.
I don't know. Right now, I just have a knife, and that's still annoying.
Yeah.
Just going, and their yellow blood is spilling in the sea.
Damn. It's pretty hardcore. I don't know. I assume there's a gun. I haven't gotten to the gun yet. So, actually, I did scan a gun, but I won't spoil what the gun is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the other part. It's just like you find stuff on the ocean floor, and if you scan enough of those pieces, like then you can make it yourself later too. And I'm like, I don't want to hunt around. Like, I can barely keep track of where I've been. Like, fuck this. But yeah, I'll probably mess with this more later this week.
I mean, the good thing is they do give you those like the other shuttles that landed or whatever. So those are good spots to go and find some of those blueprints, because there's other shuttles that crashed that did not make out so well. So if you're looking for parts,
well, I found one of those. Okay.
Yeah, I'd actually kind of like that, because they do give like almost riddle stuff for them, where it's like it's from the other pod, 60 meters southwest, 60 meters something something. It's like, okay, it's sort of like almost like a Sea of Thieves treasure discovery, but it's a space pod with dead people inside. I mean, you know.
Great.
Well, I really sucked at finding the treasure in Sea of Thieves, and you would always like find it in 5 minutes. So maybe that's just a Mary problem.
At some point, we should go back and play Sea of Thieves for a stream for this.
The game's like completely different now.
I know.
They added a ton of shit to that game. Yeah.
I still have that Game Pass thing, so
same
I may
here.
As well.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll pick it up sometime, and we'll do that. It'll be a fun stream. Sea of Thieves, the great game. America's game. Okay. Let's see here. Jake, you had one more game there on your list that you had wanted to talk about.
I dabbled in some Rec Room, went back and played some more of that. Played the new quest. It's kind of a Halloween / like some Castlevania ish like sprinkled on it. Because you get like a whip, and there's like parts where you can I don't know if the whip does damage, because I'm terrible at aiming it. So I just use the shovels and the pitchforks they give you instead. But yeah, you're just progressing through a thing, and it's you and a couple other people. And if you get hit, you are down, and then somebody's got to high five you to bring you back. And if you're all down, then you got to start the whole thing over. So, but then at the end, you get items. If you make it all the way through all the stages and beat the boss, then you get items that are themed for the quest that you can then just go wear in like whatever. You can be like, look, I'm in the rec center and I beat the boss on the space one where you're shooting laser guns at robots, and I got this cool ass helmet and like a space suit.
Can you get like a whip to use like in the game
probably.
All the time?
Sure.
Because that would be amusing.
There was a way where if you got a skin for like a weapon in the games, and you would open up, and you used to get items out of the boxes that you got, but now you just get tokens, and you buy whatever items you want with the tokens. You used to get items, so it's like, hey, you did this weekly challenge. Here's a skin for one of the laser rifles in the sci-fi game. And if you grabbed that, you just held on to it, and then you went into the rec center, you just have it until you dropped it. So I don't think you could actually shoot, but you just like, this dude's walking around with a fucking gun. And great. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, I can't wait to be a random lady walking around with a whip and just see what kind of conversations that'll elicit. Yep. Yeah.
Have you played much Rec Room, Mary?
Just a little bit. I've got, I don't know. I'm like a wiener, and just wiener. Interacting with people, and you can actually see them, and their voices are right there. I'm just like freaked out a little bit. I'm like, oh God,
it is a little,
you're
weird.
An actual person.
It's weird at first.
Yeah. Yeah. I just need to mess with it more, or be drunk or something, and then I won't give a shit.
Not
just
being,
like,
not
real
being
life.
Sober helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried playing some earlier. When I say earlier, I mean yesterday. Tried getting on same time with Jake, but like my room setup with Steam, that was the issue, was the room setup, something about the VR level of the height or some bullshit of my stand seating position. Finally fixed that, so I didn't look like a 1 foot sized baby or something in front of in every game. So when you set the room up in Steam VR, it says like, now place the VR headset on a stable surface and measure the distance. Whatever number I put in previously was too tiny, because that sets your like base seated position essentially. So I put in something way too tiny, and like I was just basically all the way on the ground, like over here, and all the menus and stuff were like way off screen. Like no matter how high I could go, like I couldn't reach them or touch them. And like, even though the Steam VR menu system in the settings says like, hey, click this for reset seated position, that only works in like games that are specifically designed right. for seated versions. Like even seated slash standing games don't change that. So I was just fucked for half of these games for a while. Long story short, it took me an age to figure that out. Once I did, Jake had already left Rec Room. And then
you said, hey, I'm starting to now. And then I went in and I just kind of hung out in the rec center for like 30 minutes. And then I got off and he's like, hey, I fixed it. I'm getting on now. And then I went back on into the rec center, hung out for another 30 minutes and he never got on. So I just went and did something else.
So I was there and I was like in the rec center, just like waiting, added you as a friend. And I was like, what's happening? I don't see anything or know anything. And then I went into the Steam settings and like, I had to log in for my friends to work or some shit, but like,
yeah, there's still a separate, like friends system in Rec Room, because Rec Room is on a bunch of different platforms now.
And yeah, I added you on Rec Room there, and I don't know, maybe the notification, if there's a notification, doesn't even come through.
There is. It's like your watch buzzes, and your controller, your left controller, your right controller, whatever vibrates.
Okay, it probably didn't go through or something. You probably
or I wasn't paying attention or something.
Or you are in the quest, most likely. So like, I'm with you, Mary. I got into that Rec Room center and was just like deadly silent, like teleported around, saw a guy like playing, singing some crooner tunes.
Oh,
like,
God.
Frank Sinatra or some shit, dressed up in the whole garb in front of the mirror. Like, it was dumb. And then like, tried to throw some balls in the basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing some like slam dunk contest shit, because I use smooth look motion in Rec Room as well, now that they added it. And so I was just like, I'd run over and grab the ball, and then I'd run toward the hoop and I'd throw it and bounce it off the wall and then jump and grab it and dunk it. That was sweet.
Man. Sounds fancy. Yeah.
I did it like once.
Okay, so you can use like smooth locomotion to just sort of like use your thumbstick to walk around?
Yep.
Okay.
And cool. Then the A button is jump, I believe.
Ah, okay. Because there was a guy in the like rec center thing that was just essentially walking, and some kid was absolutely amazed, like, oh my god, this guy's walking, do you see that, he's walking.
Oh my goodness. Really,
on the desktop mode, which the existence of the desktop mode is a fucking mistake in my opinion, but you can tell when people are using the screen mode. They call it screen mode, mouse and keyboard basically, but they all walk the same, like,
okay,
yeah,
well, yeah, I don't know if that was walking, because like the guy also had his like hands moving like that, like, oh, as okay. if they were skiing or some shit.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, if you see somebody just like sliding around with their hands at their side, they're probably using VR.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, I didn't actually get around to playing any games or anything. When it jumps you into like the first game that's like paddleball or some shit.
And, right. Like, I forgot randomly, there's some weird things it does with the tutorial.
It forces you into a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I was also deadly silent at that game, and this guy, like, Buffalo Eagle or something, he's like, hey, I'm here, you want to play some paddleball? And I was like, yep. And then, like, I was just in that thing waiting for him, and, like, it's shitty as well, because all you have to do is aim for their feet, bottom area, because no one's reaching down enough to grab that ball.
Yeah, unless they have, like, enough room for VR, then you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, so like that game was like nothingness. We barely were able to hit the ball back. But Rec Room's really cool. It looks cool. The wrapper around everything looks really awesome.
Sure.
The people talking to you via tutorial and like doing the tips and stuff, very British, which I found to be funny.
What's funny is they're based in Seattle. So it's the one lady for most of the voiceover stuff,
right?
Pretty much all of it, I think.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, I thought that was a British.
Like, she does the ready to start, like,
yeah,
game ready to start, that kind of stuff.
Huh,
that's fun.
Or looks yeah, like you're, looks like cool. looks like you're the first one here. Like if you join a game, there's nobody there. She says that.
I want to play some more, but yeah, the being in a chat room and talking to people is awkward, especially when a lot of them are like 8 year olds.
Yeah,
there's an option. There's an option to. Prioritize rooms that don't have what are called junior accounts, but the problem is nobody fucking signs up for a junior account. But if you report someone in Rec Room for it for being obviously under 13 on a non-junior account, then usually everybody will vote kick them. Because it's kind of a holdover from the VR only days when people were like, yo, this is kind of weird. Like this 13-year-old, this like 8-year-old kid should probably not be in this social VR game. Yeah. Mm. So
that's weird. Yeah, I'd never even considered that as a problem with VR, but that makes a lot. Yeah.
But I will say, when I first started playing Rec Room and I got onto one of the quests, I got paired up with us. He was like 10, but he showed me how to play the game, and he was super nice, and it was very sweet. He was very polite.
Yeah, I got set up with a kid for my tutorial, like paddle ball or whatever match too. And he was just very nice. Like I didn't have my microphone set up. And he was like, can you talk right now? And I shook my head and he's like, oh, okay, well, let's just play.
Yeah.
he was cute. Yeah. But
an exception. That's a big exception from the norm.
The second I finished that game, I teleported the fuck out of that room.
But Rec Room's still cool. I still think the desktop mode was a mistake, but that's just me and being a VR elitist. But if I wanted to play a game with NPCs, I would go play a fucking non-VR game. Or a non-social VR game.
It's called Life, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only real VR game is Life. Cool. All right. Let's go over to DJ. Sir.
Hi.
Outside of Rec Room, which you got a lot of games here on this list. Seems like it's been a good gaming week for you. What's going on?
We haven't recorded in like 3 or 4 weeks, so like I played some of these like through the holidays as well.
Right. I mean, technically we did record, but we didn't do like recaps of what we played. Yeah. So
that's what I should be saying. I'll go through a couple of these quick. RBI Baseball for the Switch. Don't get it.
Okay.
It's not great.
Okay.
That's a bummer.
It's fine.
Didn't have to tell me a second time because I wasn't even thinking about it.
It's baseball.
It's honestly fine. It's like slightly, it's a very arcadey baseball.
Well, I mean, it's RBI baseball, so.
Yeah, it does look real cool. And it's got like everyone from your teams and whatnot, all the teams, all the stadiums and stuff. So they've got the licenses and stuff. The issue with it is it's on the Switch. Now, with that being said, it takes fucking forever to load. Like you're waiting there like a good 15 seconds per half inning
for a baseball game.
Yeah, every time it switches the team, it goes to a loading screen, and then like, hey, then you gotta wait for this shit to load, and then you can finally play. And then once you play and strike out, because the AI is hard and it's hard to adjust to this game, then you wait another 20 or 30 seconds for the game to switch innings and switch sides. I stopped playing the first game I played after 3 innings because, like,
Jesus,
it's so slow for one game. It's so slow.
Yeah, I haven't heard issues with load times like that since like the PSP. Like, I thought they had figured that shit out. That's terrible.
It's just really bad. It's got a really nice package and everything. The whole career mode is like, hey, you control this franchise. So I was going to do a whole bit on making the Baltimore Orioles great again. But now that's never going to happen because I'm never going to play this game again. Maybe like if you can like do local co-op, not co-op, but local like fight games against each other, as Switch games tend to do, and you can reduce it to 3 innings or something like that, that'll be fun.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't see how anyone would like get through this career mode, especially because they have like full career baseball career seasons, which is like 150 games. Mm-hmm. Like at that point, I would happily just simulate all of it.
Yeah, that's shitty. Wow. And not even.
Yeah. It's a shame. It looked like it could have been good. Speaking of looking like it could have been good, I was also playing NBA 2K18 on the PC because I haven't played much of it and I wanted to get back into it. Particularly the like career mode thingy. It's interesting. Like it starts off with like you picking the team, like pick a team, like pick, it doesn't even say pick your favorite team, just pick a team. So I chose the Dallas Mavericks because they had a cool logo.
Okay.
And then it jumps straight into the story mode of like, hey, you're b-balling on the streets, on the street courts. And you're doing like, yeah, like 3-on-3 action. And I did garbage in like the three games.
But
they still picked me for like the final game because I stuck at NBA 2K18.
Oh, man, you did great out there. We're getting you onto a team because that's how the story mode works.
That's exactly it. The story mode is
hey,
like,
you got
hey,
fucking
you
trounced in this game.
Yeah.
You should sit out, son. I don't think you don't have a future in the NBA. I think you need to go home and just think about your life.
That would be funny. Maybe that's how the career mode ended. Like if you got fucking destroyed in the first game, it's like, I'm going to take this one back to the store, bud.
Yeah.
Like this breaks the fourth wall.
Oh God! I wish they had they built.
It's
that
like you
in.
Only have about a half an hour of playtime. Yeah. You can probably refund this on Steam.
Yeah. Maybe it's because I chose the Dallas Mavericks, and that's why I continued. I'm not sure.
What do you say about the Dallas Mavericks, huh?
Yeah, nothing. It's not even your team.
No, I know.
Who was your team, Philly?
The 76ers, probably. I don't know. I don't really
have Philly 76ers. That is it. The story is like really weird. Like you were a prodigy in high school, and then like you stopped playing basketball because you wanted to make it big in the DJ world, and then you fucked that up somehow. So like my name was DJ McCree, and I don't know why it was that, but that's my name. So,
me, DJ McCree.
I think I figured out why you failed in the DJ world.
So yeah, and then,
is the thing that plays all the beginning of all of your tracks that you release on SoundCloud? Is it just it's high noon, and then just the song starts?
Oh God.
Yeah. Yes. I hope so. And then like Dallas Mavericks sign you as like some undrafted free agent business. I got to the whole bit of like why everyone hated NBA 2K18 because your stats start at like level 60, and like even with the 3 hours or so I played, I got like 5% up to like getting to 61. So like I'm pretty sure, as they mentioned like 2 years ago when this game came out, it was like, hey, you have to buy your way to get anywhere decent in like stats-wise in this game. Yeah. So that seems like it came in, would have come into play. The storyline's not too bad. It's really weird and corny. Oh, Jesus, Thaldon. I would suggest that like maybe look up some of these cutscenes on YouTube or something, because like the person that lives with you is like really, really out there Asian lady, like Asian American lady. It's really weird. Also, you're living in like some warehouse apartment mansion that's got its own basketball court. Just throwing that out there. That's
a really weird combination of words you just said.
Yep.
As you do. I mean, everybody lives in a mansion with whatever. Okay.
Yeah, but like 90% of the place is basketball court. The like 10% is like living room, bedroom.
Is the floor just flat, like all like... just like polished wood, like a fucking court?
Oh yeah, on that okay. basketball. But like there's a glass wall and then the other side is just like New York apartment, basically. It's really dumb looking. That's probably from the DJ days. I couldn't get any further because the game wanted me to create a 2K account, so I used my email address and created one. And then I wanted to play more today, and it was like, yo, create a 2K account. And I was like, no, I created one. So I assumed it just sort of timed out. So I like had to choose the file, like DJ McCree, load up DJ McCree. And then it was like, yo, you can't load this up because you need a 2K account to be logged into the internet. You probably don't have one anymore because you fucked up and didn't verify the account or some shit like that. So as far as I know, my 2K account is now dead because I didn't verify it within 2 weeks or whatever bullshit.
Sure.
Oh, awesome.
And now my save is locked up.
Great.
Okay.
I don't know if I can create another account and like my save becomes unlocked. Who knows? But I'm not going to put that time or effort into it.
That well, sucks.
Damn.
Man.
2018 Jesus. Video games, y'all.
Yeah. I think NBA 2K18 looks great. Yeah, probably 2017 at this point.
Yeah.
It looks great. It plays weird. The people that have figured out how to play that game probably love the shit out of how it plays. But yeah, it looks cool. They've got their licenses. Shaq looks amazing. That whole like commentary team looks so good. I love
is that
was
on
Shaq...
the box? Like it was one of those that box quote. Quote, Shaq looks amazing.
Shaq looks good.
GameSpot.
Yeah. No, they're like commentary side business is amazing. It's all like in game. So like Shaq doesn't look real Shaq or whoever the middle guy is, but like the middle guy is always like very enigmatic and talking. Shaq looks like he just kind of doesn't really want to be involved, but he has to because he's Shaq.
Sounds accurate,
like,
yeah.
Taking more than a third of the whole place up because he's Shaq and he's big.
Right.
And then there's this like third guy on the other side who like, I don't know if he didn't want to do any mocap or anything, but like his character just stays still 90% of the time. He's just like disturbing.
Maybe he just wasn't available to do mocap. Who knows?
But then like he also doesn't even care when it gets thrown his way. He's like, yeah, I think they played some good defense. I don't know. And then he goes directly back into a stare of like nothingness. Like,
great.
I just wish I was getting paid. I love that guy.
I wish he would just, I don't know, they just embraced him not caring about it. That'd be very good. Just go all the way and talk about it like it's actually a video game he's watching. I think that'd be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he pressed the button really good. I don't know what else to say.
I like the package in it, but like I'm never going to figure that game out. So yeah, I'm probably not going to buy another one unless like someone says, hey, yo, 2K20 is great. It's the one.
It's the one.
It probably won't be the one. I'm sure people will say that, but
the chance.
Yeah.
You never know. There's a chance it could be the one.
That's like wanting a WWE game to be good.
Hey, Fire Pro's all right. That's all I got. Fire Pro's all right.
Just give me one.
That's not a
WWE
game.
That's good.
You could make the WWE game in Fire Pro, and that would probably be pretty good.
It's probably better than a WWE game.
Found an ignited Wrestle Chat. Wrestle Kingdom was this week. It was.
Oh, how was it?
Okay. I thought it was pretty okay. There were some good matches there, to be fair. New Year's Dash was like pretty bad. As far as we know, on like Sunday 10:20 my time, it looks very much like Kenny Omega is totally like not gonna be with NJPW because
where's he going?
Spoilers, he lost his match, and like he wasn't in New Year Dash whatsoever.
Oh.
So Cody Rhodes and Nick and Matt Jackson are creating their own indie thing called AEW Wrestling, All Elite Wrestling. And they're gonna do like more big pay-per-views like All In was last year. I think they've already announced one called Double or Nothing. But like they're creating their own indie company. Whether they might be getting TV time, they don't know, but some people clearly have come up to them and offered them that. Whether they partner with NJPW and other stuff looks pretty bad now, considering Kodo Ibushi, Kenny Omega, both Matt and Nick Jackson, and also Cody Rhodes were not on New Year Dash, and New Year Dash sets up what they're planning to do for the next couple of months. So yeah, looks like they're going to go on their own. Also, people are pondering the fact that Kenny Omega might go to WWE because they gave him a hell of a contract, apparently, according to rumors.
Can't wait for them to ruin that.
Yeah.
That's going to be shitty.
I was watching some Shinsuke Nakamura matches yesterday, and he was good. He was very, very good.
It's like, hey, welcome to WWE. Everybody's been asking you to be here. We're going to make you job to fucking Nakamura for the next 6 months.
Yep.
Sweet.
I think quite literally the only wrestler that has done well by moving away from like the indie scene and doing good was AJ Styles. And that's because he's fucking AJ Styles.
Yeah. All right.
Like even fucking Samoa Joe's doing bad. Like that's crazy. It's
great.
WWE. I was also playing Deus Ex over the holidays.
Which
only
one?
Got a little bit in. I'm trying to play Mankind Divided.
Yeah.
The latest one. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep.
I only got like maybe a mission and a half in because I was playing while the girlfriend was watching at the same time. It's cool. It's more Deus Ex though, but it's still cool. I'm also playing on like easy mode and like still trying to stealth my way through because like I don't know why, but I worry that like that game is very hard on you if like they spot you and start shooting you and stuff. I assume it's one of those kinds of games, but I don't know.
If
sure,
in Mankind Divided, they kind of made the movement and the shooting a bit better. So
okay,
it's if you've played the first reboot or whatever.
Yeah,
it's way easier to be played as a shooter for the new one because the shooting's better and the movement's better. So
okay, good. Yeah, I remember the shooting being a chore last time.
Yeah, now it's a lot better.
Good. Yeah, I'll get to that later on when I get back to it. I started up some Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, because I still haven't played that game. It was finally cheap enough like a week ago to actually buy it. And holy shit, that like first hour and a half of that game is ridiculous.
That game goes places, dude.
Yeah, it really does. Like Fireman, who's now like absorbing everything and shooting shit back. He turns into
whale.
Like a fire whale.
Yeah, yep. That part
the
was
fire
awesome.
Fire whale?
Like I got through the intro of that when it got me to the... It like spit me out at the open world, and I was just like, I'm done. Like, I got sensory overload. Like,
that's exactly
just
too what
much,
I did
too.
Too
much shit just happened, and I've never gone back to it.
Yeah. I got to... Because it once you get into that open world, it turns into, like... What's the prequel game?
Ground Zeroes.
It turns into, like, a Ground Zeroes-ass game. Just, like, a really giant map version of it. I did, like, one little intel... I infiltrated a camp and took some intel on someone, and that was pretty much it. Then I was worried about where it was going to save stuff and found it like would save on the top right corner of the screen and then left it. But yeah, I'm probably going to play more. It plays well on a controller. It locks at 60 frames per second. I couldn't figure out how to get it higher. Like, there's options to say, like, hey, unlocked frame rate, or, like, turn V-Sync off. But then, like, I changed that, and it would go to 60. And then, even then, it would, like, my NVIDIA graphics card sets it up so my FPS counts is up there as well. And it didn't say I was dropping frames, but it got super choppy when I turned V-Sync off, which is weird for a G-Sync monitor. It shouldn't do that, but it did.
I would say go look at the PC Gaming Wiki for that will probably have a solution for you. But that's where I go for any like any new PC game that I'm loading up for the first time.
Yeah,
I,
you dropped out again.
Yeah.
I'm stomping on my fucking foot pedal.
There you go. He stomped right now.
Discord's been doing a weird thing where it'll just like drop my push to talk. Like, or it won't pick it up, or it'll like lock it on. So that's fun.
And then last thing I did was play Stellaris for like 3 or so hours today.
Okay.
Pretty sure you guys all probably have Stellaris. It was in like Humble Bundles and like Humble
Monthly. I don't think I own a copy of Stellaris.
Ah, okay. When you can, you might want to get it. It's very interesting. It also throws you right into the fucking deep end. So it's like kind of a space 4X game. It's a real time. It's kind of like a real time Civ game. Like there's tech trees, there's science trees, there's like social trees, and you can unlock policy trees as well. Like all from Civilization. But then it's real time in the fact that you can move your units around this solar system and galaxy system, and they move in time. Like you don't have to like say, "Oh, this turn I'm gonna do that," and then like everyone has a turn. It throws you in the fucking deep end where it's like, "Hey, I've got a thing for you to do. Go to the captain's log, press F2." So I did that, and then I read it, and then like, that was it. It wouldn't prompt me to do anything else. So I just kind of had to wing on like, what does this button do? Oh, this is science and tech trees. I should start these, I guess. What does this science ship do? Oh, it scans shit. I should move this around. But it seems like the start of this game is a whole business of like expanding your borders. Not necessarily building up your front your base station. I was the human race, so I started in Earth and like our solar system. So like you have Mars, Jupiter, and stuff in your little solar system there. And each some planets might have like particular mining items to get, whether it's power or whether it's like diamonds for trade or whether it's other sorts of resources. You can create mining stations there with like a construction ship. And then the science ship you send to other solar systems that are next to you by like FTL jumps. They scan the whole system. And once they scan the whole system, you can move the construction ship there to create a base station. And that's how you expand your borders. While the science ships are scanning stuff, they might find like habitable planets. They might find uninhabitable ones, but ones you can totally like steal extra resources from, or like side quests are starting to pop up of like, hey, this old generation of like alien race was on this planet at one point, but they aren't now. Maybe use the science ship to find out like a path for finding further planets they were on and stuff like that. There's a whole bunch of shit in that game. And it's really cool to like figure out and like plan what you're doing. And to get around it. Like I think you can create custom ships in that game.
You can, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't delve into that at all, did you?
No, I did a little. I mean, I played a little bit of it, probably. I think I got through kind of the initial tutorial stuff. But after that, it seems like one of those big games that you would probably have to sink a lot of hours into. I definitely agree with you. It is a really neat game.
It looks really cool. And like when you pull out the galaxy map on like the standard game I just set up, I didn't change anything. Like it's pretty big. And like I imagine at some point my borders are going to finally hit someone else. Like, just before I finished the game, my science ship jumped to a new solar system, and it was just like, whoa, we've discovered an alien spaceship. We don't know who the fuck these guys are. We'll call them Nickname. And then by the time I got to that solar system, like, they had fucked off. But we clearly are going to eventually find each other. And, like, I've heard talk about this game having ridiculous amounts of, like, diplomatic discussions and like
sure
a space UN and whatnot can be created in this game and whatnot. It seems crazy cool, and I'm very intrigued by this because I wanted something that was like Civilization but not Civilization, because I played enough of that game for a while now.
Mm.
And this piqued my interest.
No, and I think everybody that I've talked to that's played it seems to really enjoy it and put those and put those hours in. So I think you will enjoy it. I think it's a good game.
I found it on sale as a key, and I think I'm going to get it because when I was a kid, I played a lot of this game called Deadlock 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and they're basically like 4X games, and I haven't played one in forever, and that sounded awesome. I want to play it. I'm buying too many games now.
Yeah, no, this game is cool. I would suggest you ask around in case someone has just a spare
somebody
copy
might have a key.
Because it was on Humble Monthlies and shit.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I'm just very intrigued by this whole thing. Also, just for warning you, like the solar systems are like, they take up your whole screen, but like the planets on there are really small. And so are all like your units. So like it strained my eyes after a while. I had to take a break. And like there are some weird issues of like unit maintenance. So like whenever you create a new science ship or a new fleet of fighters, you should probably assign them a number like control 1 or control 2 so you can hot swap them. But like you can overwrite numbers really easily. And like if you're nitpicky about like 1, mm-hmm. 2, and 3 needs to be my science ships, 4, 5, 6 are my fleet. You then have to go through every single ship and reassign them. You can't like drag them across on the bottom left border where they all are anyway. It's kind of shitty like that. Like lots of little things and hotkeys, I'm sure, that you probably need to look up yourself to help you. But yeah, it's cool. I really enjoy this game.
Cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's a neat game. I would be very curious to see as you put more hours into it and you kind of get deeper into like what's that next step. I'd love to hear like what's the when you get out of the initial phase of expanding borders, what's the diplomatic phase or whatever. I'd be very curious.
Yeah.
Cool. I hope you enjoy. It's great. All right. Let's go over to Mary.
Okay. Like I was saying, it's just a bunch of cheap and free games for me because Christmas ended.
Yeah.
And who knows when I'll get a tax return back.
Yeah. Because
the government. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, did I tell the story yet that because I worked for the government, I got a call the night of when the shutdown happened, and it was my boss's boss, and it was like, hey, we're getting on this conference call. I guess we're trying to pass something. So I had to sit on this call with a bunch of people about like, hey, am I going to be working next week? Is that happening?
Wow.
So that was a fun night. That was like right before Christmas too. So it was like, wow, okay. Just got home from our staff Christmas thing. And now we got to figure out if I'm working. So it's a lot of fun.
Did anything get resolved or?
Yeah, no, I'm still, yeah, they pushed through a measure right at the end, right before everybody left about it. So that was cool. So we're good.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I'm not happy because I played way too much Idolmaster. it was a thing. It was an issue. They were doing this event that they tried to do last year, but ended up being broken. Like the main event page totally fucked up. It's supposed to be like a player community, like participation event where everybody plays at the same time. And depending on the amount of songs that get completed in a set 24 hours, they give out a bunch of rewards and stuff. Well, they did that again this year. It was the last day of the year in Japan, December 31st. Mm-hmm. So it was the 30th here. And I had to record Game of the Year at the same time. So I wasn't able to play as much as I wanted to because part of... Yeah, no, that's okay. it was fun. I had a lot of fun recording. But yeah, as one of the rewards, they were... issuing these tickets that would drop. Most of the time it would be two tickets per song. Sometimes you'd only get one. There were a lot of other like missions involved too, like full combo this many songs, like play this many cute songs, play this many passion songs, blah, blah, blah. So in the process of doing that, I had to unlock 183 tickets to unlock these outfits for every individual character.
Wow.
So I didn't get that done until 3:30 in the morning that night because I just had Yeah, it sucked. But now I have all those fucking outfits, and the outfit is really cute. It's like this rainbow colored, like fancy, pretty dress for everyone. It's the same outfit that they used in the Evermore song event. Everybody remembers that one. Yeah.
Evermore event. I mean,
Evermore. Yeah.
Cultural touchstone.
It was great. But no, I'm so glad I unlocked everything because that game has a weird thing that rewards like people that play it super obsessively. Like anybody that gets in like the top 100 in an event, you have to play it like fucking nonstop. People have posted their schedules where they have like pre-prepared food and everything. They have like a friend staying with them so they can like take over and play a few songs while they go to the restroom and stuff. Yeah, it's fucked up. And I've never really gone that hard in the game before, so it was kind of nice to like experience that, I guess, where I was actually like falling asleep and failing songs and fucking up because it was 3:30 in the morning.
I would be too, so I don't feel bad about that one.
I have a newfound respect for people that are insane enough to play that game like that. That was kind of fun. It was crazy, but I was like, you know what? It's fun to get crazy over this stuff sometimes. I don't know. I like that, getting obsessive and weird. But yeah, a lot of Idolmaster. They were giving out free 10 rolls since like the first of the year because New Year's, and I got garbage from them, so whatever. Two new SSRs. I have three more to go, but none of the fancy limited new ones, like none of the New Year's ones. So I'm kind of fucking mad, but it's not like I've spent money, so whatever.
Wait, three more for what?
They're doing 10 days of free 10 rolls, and there are three more days to go. It's technically the 7th in Japan, so yeah. So yeah, I've been playing a crap load of that, and all of my other like gacha games are giving out free New Year's shit because New Year's is the biggest holiday in Japan, so I'm trying to obsessively play all of those to get all the free shit. So I haven't played as much like real games. I talked about VR stuff earlier. But I also bought Sunset Overdrive.
The game's sweet.
Yeah.
I bought this too during the sale.
Yeah, I was like, this is way cheaper than Spider-Man, and the same people made it. So
it's of course it's the same game.
It's fun.
Pretty similar.
It's a cool game.
Yeah, like a lot of the animations, you are jumping around and sliding, you're like grinding and stuff instead of swinging. Yeah. And I can totally see how that would translate, like making a game. And I'm having a lot of fun just doing that. Like the character I made is basically like the evil lady from Jim and the Holograms. Like,
okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so she has the spiked up 80s green hair, and a lot of the clothing stuff that's unlockable in there actually totally works. Like, I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun just farting around in that game. Open world garbage. But yeah, it totally feels like an old 360 game. I know it was like a launch game for the Xbox One, but I'm like, wow, open world games have gotten way more RPG-ified with like loot and all these other extra mechanics layered on top. And yeah, this is just like, go do a mission. You won. Here's some shit. Go to the next area. And that's kind of fun to play that again.
How far did you get?
I also kind of, not very far. I'm trying to think like, I found out you cannot escape the city. Does that kind of...
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, like, you try and... You build a flying machine.
Oh, okay. You made it a little bit farther than I did, so...
Okay. Yeah, and I got the flying machine up and running, but you figure out flying doesn't fucking work, so...
Aww.
Yeah, spoilers, I guess. Whatever. But I want to get back to that and play a lot more of it, because... The whole tone and everything, like, they did a good job making everything carry over. And even the, like, I don't know, in the game Brutal Legend, I hated when they brought out, like, the RTS style stuff. Yeah. And this game kind of has that going too, but
sort of
way less shitty form. Yeah,
yeah. It's like a tower, like a base defense kind of thing. That And it's it's not as egregious as it sounds. It's okay. Sure. It's passable. I didn't really like doing those, because it's just kind of like, why am I doing this? It's dumb.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the butt, and that's how you basically unlock like a lot of new perks or whatever in the character system. So it's kind of irritating, but everything else in the game I'm really enjoying. Like, all of the motion stuff. Like, I ended up getting really good, not touching the ground ever, just doing super high jumps off of, like, fans and then grinding. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The traversal in that game is really fun.
Yeah, cool. So that, it makes me want to play Spider-Man even more. Like,
okay.
Yeah, like, also during the break, I saw that Spider-Verse movie, too. So I was
what'd you think of that?
Man, it was pretty good. I don't understand why people are going apeshit over it.
It was great. It was great.
It's amazing.
I liked it a lot, but I felt like they could have done more with all the extra characters at one point. They just kind of throw a whole bunch in there, and then they say, like, maybe two lines or something.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. What else did I fucking play? Oh yeah, Vermintide 2. That was on sale. I stayed up until 2 a.m. playing that with Gary. That was a lot of fun.
You bought that on sale, but you didn't buy Helldivers.
No, I forgot. I forgot to buy a copy for Gary before the sale ended. He was like, I wanted to play that with you. I thought we were going to play that together. So I had to like hunt down, I bought a key and then I had like a coupon code or whatever. So it ended up being cheaper than the Steam sale anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with it. I didn't know there was so much like RPG and loot-based stuff in that game. And that just makes like the beaten up rivers of rats like rivers way more enjoyable. Yeah. Flowing right at you.
The thing that surprised me was the boss stuff. There's like trolls and stuff you fight and like enemies with health bars. And that's like not something I expected at all. Like, that's a game that's deeper than I ever even thought it was. Like, even the RPG stuff is like, it's not like tacked on, it feels very like built in a really interesting
way. And the whole like finding the grimoires and what happens when you get one of those and how it takes up like one of your healing spots and it caps your HP, like there's a lot of fun, like I almost want to say like Dark Souls style elements to that game. Maybe it's because I'm playing as the pyromancer too that I just think of Dark Souls. But yeah, that's a lot of fun. I'm having a ton of fun playing it. I'm probably going to play that when we are done, because Gary, I think he was looking up on YouTube like just a minute ago where grimoires are, because he was looking at wikis or whatever all day today trying to find out bullshit. It's a lot of fun. Even when I have like random internet people join our games, they're usually really nice and helpful. They don't get mad at us for not knowing where shit is and for accidentally getting hooked, getting taken by the hook rats and shit like that. Sure. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I beat up my hand pretty bad yesterday just playing it like crazy. It's a lot of fucking clicking. And yeah, it's a fun game. I don't know. I need to get higher. I'm only like level 8 right now or something. So I need to do more in that game before I can really sound like I know what the fuck I'm talking about when it comes to it.
Cool. I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's a great game. I gotta get around to playing more of that at some point.
Yeah, I would have played more of it, but I had to take down all the Christmas decorations and shit, and that took a big chunk of Saturday. It was fine, though. It was like 70 degrees outside. It was really nice. I don't care. Yeah, bragging about...
God damn.
There's no snowing right now, so there you go.
Okay, hey, that's good. Okay. I will talk about my games now. Everybody's favorite
game.
Excuse me. Let's talk about Smash Brothers. Is not a bad game.
That was a swerve. Brothers. I thought he was going to talk about the other one.
I mean, yeah. I was, but then Mary had to go and say bad games. So I got for Christmas Super Smash Brothers. Super Smash. What's the full Ultimate Super something? The one for the Switch. The new Smash for the Switch. Switch Smash, as some people would call it. And I've been playing around a lot in World of Light in that. That's a really fun game. The big story mode is like they make it so you actually feel like you need to play like a little bit of every character. There's some different things, different modes they do with stuff. It's very enjoyable as somebody that's not a fighting game person. I really, really enjoyed that stuff.
Well, don't worry, because that's not a fighting game.
Oh, wow. Okay. Fair, I guess. But I don't know. It's just been like, it's very cool. Like, you see characters and references there that you don't really expect to be in this. Like, really deep cuts at certain points and deep character stuff where it's like,
what? My friend tweeted at me that Dan Hibiki is in it from Street Fighter. I saw Tron Bonn is in it. Have you unlocked that's cool? Who's in your spirits that are really awesome and weird?
Yeah, Tron Bonn is really weird. There's I think it's the Burger Time person is in it.
Weird. Peter Pepper
There's a few others. I'm trying to remember. They have a lot of like they have the motor racing guy, like the car, whatever the hell it's called. The one
guy
that made
Excitebike?
Yeah, I think it's the guy from Excitebike's in it. There's a bunch of like really like and then you also have obviously like Kirby and stuff like that, characters from that game, but like it's like so deep. There's so many. They've added everybody's here. It's like they pulled every single obscure micro character from the past, I don't know, 50 years. It feels very, very like massive and big. And you really get. Mm-hmm.
Did you unlock Alucard? Is Alucard in there as like anything?
No.
Isn't he someone's a playable.
I think he's like a trophy or something you can summon.
He is a spirit.
It's like an item.
I have not locked him yet. No. He is a spirit, though. He's in the game. Yeah. It's like the spirit stuff is actually pretty neat. It's like they give you different buffs and stuff like that. Some of them might give you like jump up and stuff, but then other ones give weird, like, you're resistant to the fire floors or the sleep floors and stuff like that. So it's like it's actually pretty fun to play around with, like mixing and matching, especially in the World of Light stuff. To go like, hey, I'm gonna have a guy who's really really fast. I'm gonna make Fox really really fast, and have him run around like 100 miles an hour all the time, and equip him with bunny ears to start off with. Like it's super interesting and super dynamic in making you feel like
what.
Every game is different, and every single time you play out a world in the World of Light, you're doing something really weird, doing something you never would expect to do. You know? It's super dynamic.
I heard some spoilers for that game, and there's even more to the World of Light that you don't even know about.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's
dark.
There's another... Actually, that's totally what happens.
Oh,
no!
Fuck, I'm sorry. I had no idea. That was just a guess. That was a complete fucking guess. I'm sorry.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
I was making a joke.
Yeah. Should be cool. I can't wait to play more of that game. The World of Light stuff so far is massive. It's taken a long time. Like, it feels like you're really on this epic quest kind of thing. Like,
yeah, like, I heard that there's a part where you basically go through a fake version of Donkey Kong Country, including, like, the map and everything. Huh. That sounds really neat. I need to get that game, but fuck. I don't want to pay $60 Smash Brothers.
Well, I was having that same problem with Super Mario Odyssey. They still haven't dropped the price on that, and I really want to pick that one up, but I don't know if I want to pay $60 for it. Just give me a deal, Nintendo. Damn it. Me like $10 off. God darn it.
You can use your platinum coins to lower the price. Just fill out some surveys on their website or whatever hell.
That's been one of the things I played. I also played everybody's favorite game, Atlas, from the makers of one game Ark. With the dinosaurs. Ark, thank you. It's a pirate
bad
game. Oh, it's not good. It's not
I wouldn't know. I couldn't hear it.
There's not much sound, to be honest with you, so you wouldn't miss it.
There's
much.
Generic piratey songs. That's that kind and of, getting right. Eaten by a crocodile sounds. That's all that I heard during your stream.
I think people did enjoy watching the stream of me playing it. I want to dig a little bit more into that. I might play some more.
You spent like 10 minutes punching a bee. I know.
It that was an intense fight with a bee. Let me tell you what. I was sweating. There's something to that game, and I don't know what it is, but it's like they focused on a level of like detail or something like that. It's like giant it's close to being something. This would be a thing I would go and bring to a publisher and go like, hey, we want to make this game, and then go and make the game, you know. This is a good prototype type thing. It feels like there's mechanics there that they need at least a year in the oven.
That bee died inside of a rock, and then you respawned inside of a rock at one point.
I spawned in the middle of the ocean. And as I swam up through the water, there was a dead body that floated down. So
did you loot
it? Not a great look. There's just something there though. And it's a thing where it's super frustrating because you can see the game it wants to be, and you can look at it and go like, it doesn't even want to be Ark. I don't think. I think what it wants is to be like,
wasn't this planned Ark DLC?
Sort of.
It's Ark with boats instead of dinosaurs.
Yeah. And it's not.
Okay. That sounds on paper. That sounds good.
Yeah. Sounds I think cool. There's something there, but it's covered over with like, it's not a finished game. Like, this is not worth $10 right now. You know, this is a game that should be in its current state free because it's not, it doesn't have the content it needs. Most of the stuff is broken at this point. When you have spawn issues where you spawn characters and they immediately die, there's something wrong there. And it's just so frustrating from.
It definitely seemed too early for early access, which is weird, but
it's very raw. This is like what you would look at as an early alpha back when those terms still meant what they were supposed to mean in the first place, rather than this like early access pre-alpha stuff. This is like there's if they could just put some work in, they could be a really neat game. There's ideas there that are just really fun and interesting, and even though all the characters look terrible and the world looks like garbage, and that wasn't just because of my stream, it's just there's little moments there where I was having a lot of actual fun, where I was really enjoying myself picking up rocks and like doing a little crafty thing, and I got this axe and stuff, and some of that sure is the genre itself, but also some of it is just like, oh, it's like a really complex, really intricate, there's some intricate systems built here that seem pretty neat. I just wish it was better than what it was right now. Just wish it was better. I will play more of it, though. So, at some point. Thank you to friend of the show, Branwolf, in chat right now. I'll call him out. It's got snakes and boats, he says. it does indeed have snakes and boats.
Is there any kind of information on, like, when the next big update for the game will happen?
Like a roadmap or anything?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not looked. I would assume they're... I mean, I would not be surprised if at some point they refund people, because people are really pretty pissed off about it. Especially, like, if you look on the forums, it's, like, mostly negative on Steam right now. It's obviously getting really bad reviews. I wouldn't be surprised if they refund or something like that, or go, like, you get $20 in Steam credit, or I don't know, some kind of thing, or they give you some kind of in-game cash or something like that to refund. But it's, I don't know, they gotta have a roadmap, they gotta have a plan.
Is it fine to review an early access game?
I wouldn't.
But, like,
I mean,
they're selling it for $30. Yeah.
If you're selling it, you can review it, I think. If you're selling this game,
it's clearly, like, pasted everywhere. This is early access, and the fact, like, Brandwolf's even saying they're doing updates every day or two, like, your review's gonna not matter probably within, like, a week and a half.
That's why I say probably don't do that.
I mean, I would say do it, but then obviously make it clear. I mean, it's something
when you're doing, like, it, and, like, hey, like, this is for the launch version. Yeah.
Or maybe the store, which they probably won't do, would, like, age the review.
Yes, that would be what,
like,
I would do.
After 3 months, like, the reviews basically hold less weight.
I mean, that's what, if we were running a site that did reviews, I would say at this point, the way in which games is going, you need to do one review and then follow that review up at some point later on.
Yeah,
down the line,
like a 6 month kind of review
for these kind of bigger games. Like, there's so many games now. You look at Warframe, you look at
Sea of Thieves,
you look at that other game that friend of the show Noisy and them were playing the other day with it's a free to play game on Steam. It's like Diablo Path of Exile.
Yeah,
many of those games that start off as one way. Like, I don't know if any of those reviews, or even you look at, like, World of Warcraft, people review the original World of Warcraft, and that's a completely different game now than what it was. So I think you need constant update of a review throughout the process, but that's really hard, I think, to keep following up, because it's just impossible. There was actually a guy who was doing that for No Man's Sky, and he had a lot of trouble. Like, I don't want to keep doing, because they kept putting out updates that would be really big updates, and he was like, I have to go back every few weeks now and just do another review of this game.
Remember Polygon and the whole Sims 4 fucking fiasco?
Yeah.
Not Sims, it was SimCity.
SimCity 4, that was it. Yeah.
That was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Within a week, it changed, like, 5 times.
I mean, it's just, like, how do you do that, and how do you do that while, like, if a game is bad, you can update it for 3 years and end up being good, but does that mean it's worth it to get into that game? Does that really mean it changed that much? Shouldn't there always be, like, a little tinge of, hey, this game came out broken as fuck? Like, I don't know what the right answer to that is, but I think it's an interesting conversation, certainly. Okay. I don't have anything else to add on that one, besides for, hey, Atlas, if you get a chance, and it's free, because it should probably be free at some point, you should go give it a try. There's something there. But at the same time, it's garbage right now, so don't do it. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm looking at the latest, like, update posted by the developers, and they're like, we're trying to make it easier to actually become a pirate, because all of your stream, I did not see any pirating. I saw a lot of tree punching, but that was about it.
I mean, what Brandis told me is it takes 60 hours to get into the pirate part of it. You have to get a lot of skills and build a ship, basically, from the ground up, almost. So,
like, 60?
Like, 60 crazy. Hours, yeah.
Fuck
that's what
that.
He said the other day.
Game's a mess.
That's a mess. But it's like,
Get out of here with that shit.
Almost, that's almost neat though, like building this character it's almost there though.
They sold it as a pirate game. Like I remember watching the trailers.
It's like Star Wars Galaxies. I was like, no, it turns out you gotta put like 120 hours and play this game for 6 months of your life to even get a lightsaber.
Sure.
I fucking remember how people bandied together on that first day to get ships, and the servers were such a clusterfuck that like the ships were barely even moving out at sea. And like just lag rates, just constantly ships were like bopping everywhere. It's such a shit show of a game.
The other half of that news update I read was about server stability. So yeah. Mm,
they need that.
All right, let's do the news.
Okay. Let's go to the news, shall we? The news. So first off, Soldier Boy has stopped selling his console on his store due to potential Nintendo lawsuit. This is kind of something that's been touted around, but you can't buy the Soldier Boy? Is that the fucking name of the console?
Well, you can, but just not via Soldier Boy. Like, it won't have his name on it or whatever anymore.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Soldier Game. I don't think anybody who bought one of those actually got it.
They did ship. Some people got it. I've seen YouTube teardowns and like reviews of it, and like, surprise, it's just an emulator in there. Like,
it's like Soldier Boy's face is slapped on it with like a sticker or something.
Sadly, not even that. I wish it was. I wish it as cool. Same. I wish there was a 16-bit soldier face as you booted it up.
That would make it worth it. Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, that's something that would end up in a good collection of video game stuff. This is just the most bizarre thing fucking ever. Like, I can't believe. Yeah, and he tweets all the time. Also, we were looking at his Twitter before the show, trying to figure out what's going on with Soldier
Boy. Fucking minefield, dude.
That's a mess. It's a mess.
Merry Christmas, Soldier Boy. Will you retweet me now? Because I said just Merry Christmas, and that's it. Also, his car was in a mudslide. Here's like 70 articles that just mention that on your front page. Okay. Well, I'm glad he's safe. Nintendo didn't get him. They didn't get him through that attempted mudslide murder, but
they knocked on his door, apparently, though. Not like literally, but they were like, yo, knock it off.
Cease and desist. Yeah.
Soldier Boy is always out there getting almost assassinated by Nintendo now. That's his life. He made the choice to go up against Nintendo, and now he
was behind the mudslide.
Reggie is out there with a knife in his hand. Just the Reggie up at the top of the hill. Just, All right. Great. Okay. Next news story. Steam data shows VR ownership has doubled in 2018.
Fuck yeah, it did.
To 0.8% of users.
Oof.
Well, yeah. There is kind of a caveat with this. It's all people that participated in the Steam hardware survey, I don't even know. Yeah, so
I fill that out whenever it pops up. Whenever they're like, hey, fill this out. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Most of the time it's just like, hey, we're doing the survey and we have all your old answers. Are they still the same? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, like 85% rise in Oculus Rift users last year, 65% rise in HTC Vive. Windows Mixed Reality also went up, but at the beginning of the year, they didn't even have enough users to like register as a number on the monthly survey. But at the end of the year, 0.07% of Steam users use a Windows Mixed Reality headset. So
they're good. They're a great way to get into VR. Great cheap way to get into PC VR.
Yeah, they are. Which, I mean, it seems like a lot of people have picked those up just because they are cheaper. Mm-hmm. So yeah, That's cool. I hope that means there will be more actual built-in support for those dumb Windows Mixed Reality controllers I have. Because sometimes in games, I have to just fumble around with like a fake Oculus controller and see what goes with what. And that's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but... Don't quote me on this, but I believe the mixed reality controllers are also, you can also remap stuff like with, oh, I've got a PlayStation controller, or I've got this Nintendo Switch controller. I think you can do that.
I haven't tried messing with it. Revive, the new version of Revive, I think lets you mess with that, but I haven't really played that much VR.
Yeah.
So just a lot of stuff I've already played and like music games, which aren't too complicated control wise. So I've been fine. But yeah, some people are buying VR. It doubled last year. There aren't a ton of people, but even more.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, I think 2019 will be good, maybe. I don't know. I still don't know what VR looks like going forward. Hopefully it will continue to grow, but I don't know. It's not, I don't know. I wonder if 2019 sees that next revision, because
it seems like instead of like more advanced revisions, people are trying to focus on all-in-one kind of bundles. Mm-hmm. Like there's a new version of like Oculus Go that they're trying to bring out.
Quest.
That Madbox VR thing that got announced. Yeah, I don't know. What? I didn't really look that up.
What's the
what's the name of their Slightly Mad Studios or something? They're trying to make
Mad Studios.
They're trying to make a VR console, which is basically just a PC. But it's supposed to be like competitive price wise with the next console generation. Nobody, like, that's just saying a lot of nothing because nobody knows how much those are gonna be.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be able to play stuff up to like 4K. It's like, okay, first off, there are no headsets that have 4K displays in them, except for like the Pimax, and that's like a super niche, like prosumer bullshit thing, and it's got two 4K screens in it, and you have to have like an insane PC to run it.
The things they've decided to focus on for the announcement of this thing are kind of weird. Like, look at it. Look at the RGB water cooling stuff you can see right here. And it just looks ugly as fuck, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe we can use that for the podcast image, because holy shit, it's so ugly.
Wow. They don't look... Wow. Okay. Ew.
Here, I'll pull a window over here so we can show everybody.
Oh, okay.
It's gonna be under all the text overlays. Whoops. Oh well. But this thing looks fucking insane.
They don't look good. I mean, they look neatish, but like, good.
They look terrible.
I kind of like the weird U shape.
Like, what is this? Why is there a stupid thing on the side?
Yeah.
What is this?
A carved alien thing? I don't know. It looks ugly.
I mean, the alien, whatever. The little U thing. Well, maybe you want to store some folders there or something, you know? Yeah. Slip it right in.
Is that where the remotes go?
That's where the remotes go. That's where your bag of chips and your soda sits. Sure.
It's like those old magazine stands they have in bathrooms or something. It is.
See, the thing is, though, this thing's going to be fucking gigantic because these fans on the front are supposed to be 120-millimeter fans.
Huge.
That kind of looks like a radiator there with the two fans.
It's probably like a 240 radiator piping on the front. But that means the thing is fucking gigantic.
Yep.
Like, the thing is fucking massive, and it has this like skirt thing around it. It takes up even more space. It's like, what the fuck are you... I hope this is a concept, because Christ, this is like original Xbox concept art levels, where it was a big fucking X, like a literal Xbox.
The company's CEO, here's a quote from this article that I found the picture from. Responding to a question concerning size, Bell says Madbox will actually be much smaller than it looks in those images. And he says something about, admittedly, Bell thinks the design is still a bit too garish for living rooms as it is now.
Shit.
Yeah, wow, okay. Sure.
Like, why did you put out this image then if that's not what you're going to make it look like? I mean, it looks
better than just like a black PC case, which is probably what it's going to be.
True.
Maybe if you're trying to get investor money or something, that looks better than just like a generic item. But
they won't know that those are giant fans at the front. They think that's probably small. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you just gotta pitch it. You gotta pitch it as like, I don't know.
Well, it's not coming out until like 4 years from now anyway. So it probably will never exist.
Yeah, this is like the Phantom 2.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you guys ever think there will be another console, like another well accepted, like, hey, we're
an Ouya, but it actually succeeded,
becoming successful, and then
people keep talking about Amazon buying game studios and trying to make games and putting out maybe a specific piece of streaming hardware, but I don't know. I doubt Apple will. Because people buy their products to play games on that they already sell, so I don't think they would make a dedicated console.
True. But, I don't know. I've been thinking. Go ahead.
Nintendo's president, Shuntaro Furukawa, told Nikkei today that we aren't really fixated on our consoles. Even though the Switch has probably sold I'm pretty sure bonkers. It has sold like Wii levels of versions, but maybe they might be looking at going more handheld side with the next iteration of the Switch rather than plug in and play side. Maybe they do a Switch but with no base station, like you just plug a USB cable into your TV.
Yeah,
that's what they're hoping for.
Why didn't they do that in the first place? Yeah. I just want to put a fucking HDMI cable, like attach it, but
maybe just ship a dongle that makes it an easy snap-on thing. I think that's probably the best way to get it.
And like, can't you already do that? Like, there are some dongles that you can just plug it works.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not too hard. It's running via USB-C. So yeah,
well, it's not a standard USB-C though. The voltage is different. If I recall correctly.
That's what I'm saying. You need the right one to connect to it properly.
Or your console gets bricked, because that's happened too.
Or you like take apart the dock, which I've done, and print your own little house unit for the dock.
Nice.
And make it much smaller.
Nice.
Because if you look inside the PCB inside the dock, it's tiny as fuck. It's really small.
Oh yeah, it's super tiny.
But yeah, they're probably going to bring out more stuff on phones too, because there's that Mario Kart they announced, and they make money off phone game shit, and that's how the Japanese market is going. Like, the number one grossing phone game of last year was that fake Grand Order game, so. Like, Dragalia Lost has only been out since September and in only 5 territories, and it's made like more than Animal Crossing. So probably more gacha bullshit. Yeah.
True.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that Animal Crossing game came out, everybody's like, oh, this is not what I wanted.
Also, just going back quickly to the VR stuff. Looks like HTC Vive might be showing something new at CES, which is this week.
Oh, I hope so.
So next week, we might have more info on that.
Ooh,
some people are saying it's a competitor to Oculus Quest.
I hope it's not.
Brand new stuff. Yeah.
Are you going on a record right now? Do we have a hot exclusive that it's going to be something?
I have no exclusive.
Make something up.
Google it.
I think they're probably going to go more in the Oculus Quest style, because just looking at these Steam numbers, like trying to get an even more expensive, like fancier version of the Vive, like there's a bigger market of just like people that are like, I want to use it on a plane and watch a movie or whatever. Yeah.
Christ, VR in a plane. That kind of sounds weird to me.
Sounds like throw up. City.
Yeah, like a nightmare. I'm gonna say like threefold. An Oculus Quest equivalent comes out. They add bundles, like actual bundles with their like wireless shit, and everything gets price reduced. So old school HTC Vive gets a heavy reduction. HTC Vive Pro gets like maybe $30 higher than current HTC Vive price. Etc.
I could see that working. Yeah.
If they do, hey, here's our standalone thing, but we're also still working on PC VR stuff, and we have some stuff to show you. If they come out there like, oh, we're making this thing, and then using their PC VR thing to push their all-in-one standalone thing, like Oculus did, those fuckers.
Like who's doing Knuckles?
That's Vive. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so maybe, like, they announce Oculus Quest, but also Knuckles at the same time.
Yeah, like, that's the one thing that's keeping me from jumping to the Vive is the controllers.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You can now get the HTC Vive for $200 or something would be...
It would be, like, probably, like, $400.
Yeah, because it's still
it's still like $600 for the whole setup.
People that wanted to get in, like their main focus is the price point. They probably already got the Windows mixed reality stuff too. So
maybe, yeah,
maybe. I guess I don't know, but that price, I don't know. It's still like
$350.
I feel like sub 200 is the only thing that would move stuff.
I don't think you're going to get like anything sub 200. Maybe at the end of next year, like the Acer stuff.
Maybe.
New, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I guess we'll see. I'll probably never get VR. Who knows? Maybe at some point. Okay. So let's talk about, I guess, reselling unauthorized game keys, now illegal in Japan. Fines up to 5 million yen.
Yeah, that's like the equivalent of around $46,000 U.S. money. So,
or up to 5 years in prison. Or both.
Or both, yeah. If you use some algorithm to make up keys and then sell them on Yahoo Japan, you're going to go to jail. Same with offering mod services. Yeah. Anything that fucks with the save data. So, like, no more Pro Action Replay or N64 DEX drives, like those are now illegal in Japan. Oh, the
DEX drive. I haven't heard that name in a long time. Fuck.
So yeah, they just these are amendments to their like consumer protection, blah blah blah, copyright laws, and they've just made all of that stuff officially illegal now, which I guess before it wasn't. So. People were selling like modified phone game like codes beforehand. So yeah, you go to jail now. And Japan is really strict when it comes to this stuff. Like they will actually look up like I said, Yahoo Japan auctions. Like there was some guy recently who was selling modified NES classics, and he added like 5 other games to them, and he ended up going to jail. So they are super strict about it. They don't just take down your auction. They call the police.
Yeah.
Well, ain't that some shit. I guess you don't want to be pirating games in Japan. Wow.
Maybe don't do that.
That's intense.
Or don't sell it. Like, don't sell your services publicly. Like, I know there are like video game stores here, at least like 10 years ago, where they'd be like, hey, bring in your PS2, we'll mod it for you. And there's no way that could exist over there now.
Okay. What's not even that hard?
It's not even that hard to mod those things, is it?
PS2 was kind of a pain in the butt originally. I'm talking the NES classics. Oh no, it's not hard at all.
It's like plug it in your computer, run this thing, and then go get ROMs off of a torrent site, and you're good to go.
Which is why you don't need to be selling that stuff.
Right, exactly. Like mod shipping a PS2, I can see that, because that whole scene was kind of nuts.
Yeah, like there was an issue where taking apart the console, there was a ribbon cable that went to the power button, and a lot of people basically ruined their PS2s by taking them apart.
I took mine apart just for fun, and I had to read a guide on how to do it. And they're like, watch out for that fucking ribbon cable. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right. Yep, watch out for that ribbon cable. You will fucking destroy your PS2.
Jeez.
Just soft mod. It's way easier to soft mod a PS2 these days.
Yeah, especially now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's this news story at the end here about something about Overwatch team discovers female player was an imposter?
Discovers?
What?
Like reveals?
Yeah. So this was a clusterfuck that happened near the end of the week, mostly.
I have no idea what this is. Gotta tell me all of it. All
right, so... there's a league below Overwatch League. It's like they're I can't remember what they call it.
Okay.
Challenger series.
Contenders or something.
Yes. Yeah. So like all of the big esports kind of have this. Like CSGO has FPLC and like the Mountain Dew League, which is basically a branded ESEA rank G, I believe, which is right below the pro level. Siege has Challenger League, which is right below Pro League. And this is the Contender League. So this is a sub league. It's like the Pro Am, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But they recruited somebody, one of the teams, I think. I can't remember what team it was.
Second Wind.
Second Wind, yes, that was the team. They recruited a female player named Ellie, and of course the internet didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And the internet started looking way more into her like Twitch VODs and stuff, or her gameplay, and people started going, I don't think that's actually her playing that game. And people were just kind of writing it off as, oh, you guys are just being sexist and looking for a reason to not like this, so you guys are saying it's not her playing. Like,
Which is fair.
I mean, yeah, totally. Like, that's what I thought, too. I was like, oh, great, it's the Overwatch community being shitty. Great.
Sure.
Nope. Turns out, wasn't her playing. Ellie is not a real person. What? They were doing it as a PR stunt.
No, it was a social experiment. Yeah.
So what? Ellie is a real person.
Ellie's a real... Okay, sorry, yes. Ellie is a real person. But
something about it is like she got talked into it by a person called Punisher, who is like a previously banned person who is like a top 500 player in Overwatch. And like their line is, it's a social experiment.
So he got banned, and this was his idea to like actually get back in there. And wow, that's even more shitty than I originally thought. Wow, like, I thought he was like, oh, I'm trolling. I'm doing it for the lulz or whatever the fuck.
Now Blizzard PR is fucking pissed because Overwatch is attached to all of this.
Everyone is. Yeah. Yeah,
they should be.
So it doesn't help that when Second Wind recruited her, the person like barely played any ranked games wasn't in the scene at all. No one stats didn't add up. She hadn't played any pro matches at all. She just had a sudden surge in the rankings chart, and then
like her account was super
new. So it was obviously a Smurf account or whatever.
People were worried that this was someone's Smurf account, but she was claiming she was a real person. She was a real person. She did the whole Giguri thing of going online and playing with the video up.
Well, the one difference is that Giguri is actually really fucking good. Like she can actually play the game, and she shows up on LAN and like plays. She's good.
The other awkward reason is Ellie wanted to stay under the name Ellie. She didn't want the real name out there. She didn't want like her personal info out there. Sure. Which is fair
red
enough,
flags. Red flags just popping up.
That was a red flag to everyone else because everyone else has their real name out there. So like, yeah, it's really awkward. So like, I can see where people wanted to like learn more about this lady, like this character or whatever, and trying to figure out why she's there and whatnot. But I could also see why some people are like, oh, she probably got a bunch of fucking shit from the internet now that she was like outed as a female or something, because females get a bunch of shit when they're outed as a female on the internet. It just really sucks. And like, the piece de resistance is like, the Gamergate fools were right. That's the moral. That's the fucked up moral of the story.
It's like, look what you fucking did.
Theory.
Look what you fucking did. It's like, now they're gonna use this as fucking ammo for the next
Years. Obviously, this was an asshole who got like banned from playing professionally or whatever in the first place. So I don't know, all the blame is on him, not necessarily like, oh, the Gamergate dudes were right. Well, this dude sounds like a Gamergate style fuck to me in the first place anyway, so whatever.
Yeah. The awkward thing is every side is blowing it out of proportion of like, a lot of females involved with Overwatch are now saying like, well, fuck, this sets Overwatch back like 10 years, this whole community is going to be even worse.
This is just a moron. Like,
yep.
And then on the other side, it's like, hey, we were right. Ha 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 ha. Troll, troll, troll.
Yeah.
Pepe Frog. Woo.
Yay, Pepe Frog. What? Oh my God.
So, yeah, it's like a crazy, it's just a crazy story.
The internet's
pretty dumb sometimes, you guys.
This is one of those stories that you look at and you go, you know, I'm going to be done with the internet for today. I'm going to go and do something else. This is ridiculous. Wow. That's fucking ridiculous. Okay.
Just a giant fuck up on everybody's part, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't... God damn.
Oh, I should also say Second Wind hired her because they had a dropout last minute. And she was going to be like a rotational player. So she wasn't like instantly on the main team. She was also like kind of in the tryout position.
Okay.
So that was their sort of defense of like why they picked up someone that was like just suddenly so good, not like well known in the scene. Which I guess you can just about get away with.
Sure.
Company.
All right.
Not when you go, hey, we're getting a girl player on our team, and then everybody on the internet starts like going over her info with like a fine tooth comb, looking through all of her accounts and shit.
Yeah, this seems like a weird way to try and get back in. Like, you would think he would know like all the attention. Well, maybe that was part of it. Maybe he was like, oh, this is going to be fun also too. Like, yeah, trolling it up or whatever the hell. Like, he created a real stir. He got the drama going. The Twitch fails. Great. Blah, blah, blah.
It's a nightmare. But what can you do?
Not go on the internet. That's what he did.
Not do stupid shit for PR reasons.
Yeah.
I'm
sure he has so many Twitter followers now.
Sure. Okay, last news story. Unreal PT is now out and has VR support. That's our last good news story. What? You don't want to get scared?
Not playing that shit in VR. No thanks.
Okay. Well, I am going to play it.
I still own PT, so I don't need this.
You already got it saved on your PlayStation still? Just sitting there?
Yes, I do. Wow. Yep. This doesn't look as good as PT.
Oh,
this lighting is ass.
It looks very good.
I don't know. It looks all right. Don't look bad.
I know. To me, it looks very, very good. Looks very close.
Well, the second video on this link is somebody actually really playing PT. It's just the first teaser video with the fridge hanging that is this Unreal PT, and it looks like a phone game.
You should try and get some more video, but from the stuff I saw, it looks like PT as PT.
It looks close,
This looks really good, actually. I'm watching that clip. Or this video of these guys playing it.
I wonder what that, if they had alternate universe, what that Silent Hill game would have been like. Because, boy, I miss a good Silent Hill. I could use a good Silent Hill. Hell with it.
No, yeah. This second video is actual real PC.
I was going to say, because they're using game pads, and that's what I was like, wait a second. This video is not them playing the PC one. This video is them playing PT on a PlayStation.
I've linked a picture and a link in the chat.
Whoop.
Let me see. Let's take a look.
Said,
yeah, this is going to take a second.
Live to it. I'm just scrubbing.
Looks pretty fucking good. I'm scrubbing through it too real quick.
It's close. I mean, I think the Fox Engine has always been a little bit better at certain things than probably Unreal is. Like, there's certain little bits and bobs here.
Yeah.
Not quite right, but... Oh god, I can hear it. It's playing on multiple things now. Oh no.
That one's computer is imploding.
It is closer. These walls don't look, I don't know, and these textures, they're definitely not as good from what I, well, it's been a while since I played it, but it's pretty
Fetus
close.
Baby looks good.
It's close. It's very close. You know.
Eraserhead baby.
Poor Eraserhead baby. Never got a chance to be what it was supposed to be.
A full-grown Eraserhead.
Human. A full-grown human being with an Eraserhead. That's what it was supposed to be. Okay.
This texture work isn't as good. No. I'm being picky or whatever.
It's a fan-made thing. You can't. And it looks pretty fucking good for what it is.
It's pretty close. Yeah, it's
I am just saying, Konami's probably gonna get it down, so maybe download it now. Considering
it's out there. It's never gonna be officially down. You can find it. You'll be able to find it somewhere.
I'm downloading it right now, in fact, sir. All right, and I also wanted to promo. Hey, what is it? Awesome Games Done Quick. Which one is it?
The Awesome Games Done Quick 2019 is started as of like a couple hours ago.
Oh, today. It's tomorrow. Today. Whatever. Started with Hollow Knight, from what I hear. So, should be good. Check that out. Always like to give promo some props to people out there.
People out there doing things for a good cause.
Yeah, definitely donate to them. That's what I was going to say. Also, probably donate to them because it's always a good cause. So, I think that's it for the news. Everything coming up this week. We got, I don't know what week we're doing anime, but we're doing an anime live show at some point coming up here. The live anime award show. The live awards.
Get ready for a 5-hour stream, y'all. Yep.
That's going to be fun.
Love it. Woo!
Do you want me to be in the control room? I can run the stream for you guys if you want. I will not contribute at all, and I'll probably keep my headphones muted.
We'll see.
But
we'll figure it out. We got a week to set it up.
The problem is we have 4 people, right? And then we don't have a tiebreaker if 2 people decide on one thing.
That was the problem last year, too. I remember. Yeah.
We need a tiebreaker.
I'll step in as a tiebreaker. I've never seen either of these shows. Give me one screenshot
just show
each
you,
one of them.
Yeah, key art or whatever.
Like, these both look fucking lame.
Okay, well, damn. Okay, anyway. So look forward to that. I don't know if it's next weekend or the weekend after. We have to still decide on that. But thank you guys
Black
for joining
Lagoon
us.
Black is better than both of these. Black Lagoon's pretty fucking awesome. I need to go back and finish watching Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Anime chat.
Anime chat. Closed. And also look out. I got a few lists coming up. I believe some people are making me lists. So keep an eye out for those. New Year's, end of the year review lists. A few of them are coming out. I saw yours went up.
K-pop list. K-pop. Top 21 songs of the 2018 is out on rumsoverbaghdad.com.
Home of all your favorite K-pop, robsbeckdead.com. And yeah, so that'll do it for us here at the show. Keep an eye out. There's stuff coming up on the website. We're doing some website stuff. Flossy the Snowman still staring at me on this website, really haunting my dreams.
It's Adam, we need to talk about you getting an affiliate.
No, it's fine. I don't want to promo my stuff here.
Do
Thank
it.
Thank you, though.
I'm going to fine. Fuck it. If you don't want to go to 1,000 stream, go to my stream. Okay. Use your Twitch Prime sub, twitch.tv/internetpizza.
Subs. Yes.
Or you can go to 1,000 stream and sub to him with your Twitch Prime or just give him real money, whatever.
Just hand me money
Bits,
in real life.
Subs. I have donations set up. It goes right to my PayPal account, right into my wallet.
Just walk over and hand me money on the street. I'll take it either way. I mean, whatever you want to give me.
Meet up at the Houdini Museum.
Yep, meet me at the Houdini Museum. We'll get this thing settled. So we're doing that. I guess I got affiliate this week, so I guess I probably should set up a PayPal for Rump Baghdad. That's something I was thinking about there.
Yeah, we got to figure out how we're going to handle that because we're close to getting affiliate on this channel as well. We just need followers. We need
get those hot follows.
Yep. If you're new,
I
want
to replace my shitty ass blue snowball mic, please.
if you're in the chat, welcome. Maybe hit that follow button. Helps us out.
Welcome. And thank you everybody for joining us. I've been Albie. Keep your eye on the website, more stuff coming out. You can like us on iTunes. It helps out the show. You can find us on Twitter, you can find us on YouTube, and you can find us on twitch.tv where you're watching right now if you're watching live. And I've been your host, Albie, and I wish you a very merry happy new year. Happy new year, everybody. It's 2019.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.